All right, tonight we're going to continue our study on how we as Christians should be viewing what's going on in our culture today and the discussion about race, police brutality, all of those things. And so often we are inclined to go with the way we were raised, our personal experience, our personal thoughts, as opposed to the Word of God. A big debate in our society that seems, and from my perspective, that Christians have largely opted out of, just and keep spouting their opinions, is the role of police within a society. God's Word actually has a lot to say about police and what they are supposed to do. And we as God's people, as in line with the Great Commission, want to not just proclaim the gospel, we also want to proclaim everything that God has commanded us concerning society, specifically how that relates to police and their role within our society. So what we need to do tonight is we need to ask the Lord for wisdom, ask for His Holy Spirit to open our eyes, but also we need to come with a humility and submission to the Word of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ as it relates to this issue, because we want to be peacemakers and truth proclaimers. And many times that's going to find us not on the political side that we are used to being on, and many times it's going to find us hated by everyone as opposed to beloved by one group or another. So with that in mind, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His wisdom on this issue. Father, there is so much hatred in our country today. Father, so much division, so much animosity, so much violence. And Father, You've called us to be salt and light in our corrupt world. You've called us to be a light, Father, to the nations. And You called us to teach Your people everything that You've commanded. So I pray, Father, as we proclaim the gospel, Father, to our friends, neighbors, family members, co-workers, Father, we would ask that You would use what we learned tonight to give us more opportunities to share the gospel, greater insight into what's going on in our society, but also, Father, that we'd be more faithful to uphold what Your word says concerning the way a society should be ordered. Give us wisdom, give us instruction, and give us grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to begin in Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16 in verse 18. This would be the basis for police as found in the Word of God. Deuteronomy 16, verse 18, the Word of God says this: "Judges and officers shall you make in all your gates." Notice there are judges. Judges are those who would try the case and determine the punishment based upon the guilt or innocence of the person and the witnesses and the evidence brought forward. An officer would be someone who would assist in bringing someone to trial and ensuring that the punishment that was determined by the judge was carried out. So this would show us that there is a basis for police within the Word of God. But I want us to notice who God wants as police and also some of the warnings that He gives concerning these judges, specifically for our study tonight, officers. He says that they will judge the people with just judgment. In other words, we want people who are going to be just. If you remember our conversation on justice, I think it was last Sunday night, we talked about that and how that means equitable, balanced in the eyes of God. In verse 19, it says, "You shall not wrest judgment." In other words, the officers that we want are going to be people who not distort justice. We want police officers who are going to ensure that justice is done. So what are some things we are looking for? You shall not respect persons. Okay, what this means is you want someone who is going to enforce God's law equitably, regardless of who the person is that is accused. We want someone who is going to have the same opinion, whether the person is has black skin or white skin, whether they are a police officer or a civilian, whether they are a family member or not a family member, whether they have political power or money. We know in our society today that there is a wide latitude in how police treat different people. If you are a senator and you get accused of a crime, you will be treated differently by the police than if you are a regular person. If you are a rich person in a really nice neighborhood with lots of money, you'll be treated differently than if you are a poor person in a poor neighborhood. This has historically in this country also been carried out as it relates to being black or being white. It is also carried out in that police officers many times look out for one another. And this is wrong. If someone commits a crime, You want the officer to arrest them and ensure that they are brought before the judge. That is what you want. It does not matter. We should not look at faces. We should not look at the background. We should look at, was a violation of God's law committed? We do not want a respect of persons. We want people who are officers who are going to enforce God's law regardless of who the person may be that's accused. Notice he says this, neither take a gift. The community that we lived in before we moved here, the police officers there were extremely corrupt, and part of that was because they were paid very, very, very little. And I'll talk about that later on. But I remember a guy that I worked with was a crystal meth addict, and where we lived at was the second largest producer of crystal meth in the world. It comes from Holmes County, Florida, out in the Panhandle. And he told me a story of being at his meth dealer's house, and he said a police officer pulled up, and everybody started, you know, just panicking. But the owner of the house didn't panic. He just went and grabbed a wad of cash, went outside, talked to the officer, handed him the cash, came back in and said, guys, it's time to pack up. And the next day, after the house was empty, it was raided by the FBI, and they couldn't find anybody there. That's because the cop came, collected his payment, and told them the FBI is coming tomorrow. Okay? We do not want people who are going to be influenced by money. Okay? This is a great danger when it comes to justice, and that is where eventually what you'll get is the rich people can do what they want to, the poor people, it doesn't matter whether they do what's right or wrong. You're going to have a power imbalance. We do not want police officers that are influenced by money or any type of gifts. Why? A gift blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Because it distorts judgment. It distorts justice. That which is altogether just you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God gives you. We want police officers who are going to follow what is just. Deuteronomy 17 speaks of the appointment of a king. But what it is speaking here is what we would call biblical qualifications for a civil magistrate. In other words, he's speaking specifically of a king, but these character traits are what we want in any government employee, government official, as it relates to whether a judge or a police officer. These are the character traits that we are looking for and what we should want. You shall, in verse 15, Deuteronomy 17, you shall any wise set him king over you whom the Lord your God shall choose. One from among your brethren shall you set king over you. You may not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother. This would be in the U.S. Constitution, for the office of president, that the office of president can only be occupied by a natural born citizen. Obviously, there can be a tremendous conflict of interest when you have someone who is from a different country or a different place who has authority in a different situation. For example, if we were to have someone who is Chinese become a senator, he may be conflicted in whether he was pursuing the interest of the people of the United States or the people of China. This is very true when it comes to accountability as it relates to police officers. We want local police. We're going to see this later on as we go through Deuteronomy, that the government structure in terms of arrest, judgment, punishment in the Bible is extremely localized. Why? Because they are accountable to the citizens. When you have a police force, regardless of your opinion on what happened in Portland, when you have somebody from Arkansas who comes to Portland, okay, he can do whatever he wants to, and he doesn't have to worry about his actions following him home. What you want is a local individual. You want someone who, when we talk about judges, we want judges who live in the area over which they preside. We want people who run for Congress to be from the area in which they are representing. The same thing would go with police officers. If you are going to be a sheriff's deputy in Alachua County, you should live in Alachua County. That is what we want. We don't want someone who's from, you know, Atlanta, Georgia, that comes down here and does whatever they want to, and then they go home somewhere else at night. We want somebody who has a vested interest in the people who live in that community. Notice what he says next. He shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he will multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said to you, you will not henceforth no more return that way. Now, verse 16 speaks about something that we don't really like to talk about or never have really thought through for the most part biblically. And it's speaking of here, if you do not want a king who is going to make for himself a standing powerful army. Why? Well, because a king could have a powerful personal army that he uses not for the defense of the nation, but for the oppression of his opponents. Okay, this is very important when you talk about police. We do not want a heavily militarized police. It sounds really nice when it's talking about all the people you don't like, but what happens when the government doesn't like you? This is something that we as Christians need to realize as it relates to the current discussion on the role of police. Okay? It's easy to look and say, oh, well, the police should go in here and clean this mess up, and oh, they should address this group of people. But you understand, if you give the police that power, they then can direct that power at you. We do not want a militarized police. We do not want police officers who amass, here it uses the term horses, we don't want them amassing weapons and other type of things that are not readily available to citizens. Why? Because they should be accountable to us. That's a recipe for oppression. When you have a government that has powers and weapons that its people do not have, that's why we have the Second Amendment, okay? Because then you can have an oppression and the people are unable to defend themselves against the government. Remember, one of the greatest killers of the 21st century was human government. I'm sorry, the 20th century was human government. You look at the tens upon millions of people that were killed by the Chinese government, killed by the German government, killed by the Russian government. We do not want our government to be amassing weapons that could be used against their citizens. Next, okay, in verse 17, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, his heart not turn away. Again, this is talking about a king. They did not want a king that ended up being like Solomon. Solomon should have listened to this. Because the sexual immorality led to idolatry, but sexual immorality also leads to injustice. If you were to apply this to the concept of police officers, we do not want police officers who can be bought by sex. I remember reading just this past week, actually, of two officers that took advantage of a lady that was in handcuffs in the back of their cruiser. They pled guilty to 11 counts of rape and served zero jail time. You do not want people like that given authority. We do not want anyone who has a hint of that to be given some level of authority when they are going to be alone on a dark road with a gun and handcuffs and authority. That is a recipe for many people being taken advantage of. Okay, next thing here. Okay, it says, neither shall he multiply to himself silver or gold. We do not want people who are in it for the money. Unfortunately, and we'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk about application, many corruptions of local police force are because they are paid so little. Because they are not paid well, that opens them up to being being receptive to bribes, etc. We want people who are not going to receive bribes. Verse 18, it should be when he sets upon the throne of his kingdom, he will write a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. It will be with him. He will read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Okay. Verse 18 and verse 19, we want police officers who know the law. We're going to see some application of this elsewhere in Scripture. One of the takeaways I hope you get from this, when we talked about justice and we talked about all of those things, is our country has far too many laws which are not just laws, that are not based upon the Word of God. The number of laws we have in our country, there was a guy that actually wrote a book called Three Felonies a Day, because every citizen of the United States technically commits three felonies a day, whether you know it or not. It's because there are so many laws. We want the officers of the law to know and understand what is legal, to know what is illegal, to know what is good, and to know what is evil. Okay? And this here speaks of those them reading the Word of God. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted above his brethren. Here it's speaking of a king, and if this is applying to a king, how much more should this apply to a police officer, that there is going to be equality. This is one of the dangers in our society, is that there is two standards. Okay? There is the standard for the government official, and there is the standard for everybody else. When you look at the next police video and that everybody is complaining about, here's what you need to be asking this question. If that man didn't have a badge, would this be a crime? Because what you will see is that many times, if you were the individual that pulled the gun and shot the person, you would be charged with murder. But because the person is a police officer, they look at it through a different lens. Okay? We want equality. We want justice, which is across the board. It doesn't matter who you are. And one of the dangers that you find within policing in our country is that there's unwritten code where police officers watch out for each other. I actually heard a story of a state trooper who was drunk and ran over and killed a man in the middle of the road. Another state trooper was the one investigating it, realized what happened, and covered it all up. Well, why? Because he's a police officer. We got to watch out for our own. No, we don't want that. That is not just. We want people to be given that authority whose hearts are not lifted above their brethren. In other words, that realize that they are a citizen on the same level as every other citizen. We do not want a two-tier system. And if you look in our country, that's very quickly what we're getting. There is one rules for Congress and another rule for everybody else. There's one rule if you're a senator, there's another rule for everybody else. There's one rule if you're a police officer, another rule for everybody else. We do not want that. That is not biblical. That is not right. Okay? That he turned not aside from the commandment to the right hand or the left. When you begin to believe that you're better than other people, that's going to lead to where you are going to begin to break the law because you think you have the right to do so. Numbers 11, verse 16. This will help us understand a little bit more the concept of sheriff's deputies. The Lord said to Moses, "Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation that they may stand here with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take the spirit which is upon you, put it upon them, and they will bear the burden of the people with you, that you bear it not yourself alone." Here, the elders are made into officers, going back to Deuteronomy 16, what we talked about previously. And part of this here is instead of Moses bearing the entire burden, he now had 70 other people who were deputized with the same authority to ensure that God's law was carried out among the congregation. It is a good thing and right thing not just to have a sheriff or some type of police officer, but to have those who are deputized by him with the authority to ensure that there is an enforcement of God's law. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 3, this is moving further on the nation of Israel. "Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years upward, and their number by their poles, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges." Eventually, the Levites would become what we would call the police officers of the nation of Israel. They're the ones tasked with ensuring when someone was accused of breaking the law that they were brought forward for a fair trial before a judge. Other Levites would have served as judges as well. Deuteronomy 19, verse 11. This is important when we begin to talk about police, especially when you talk about, say, situations where there is federal police being brought in. Deuteronomy 19:11. Notice the way the government structure is set up here. "If any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him, rise up against him and smite him mortally that he dies, and flees into one of these cities," this would be the cities of refuge, "the elders of his city will send and fetch him from there, deliver him to the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die." Notice here, when a murder was committed in one city, if the person ran somewhere else, that person was to be brought back and held accountable to the elders of the city that he ran from. Notice the enforcement of the law is very local. It is not one of these big national, separate, and again, the nation of Israel was not very big as it relates to, say, the United States. If you look at a map, the nation of Israel would be, I don't know, about the size of maybe Maryland in today's terms. So when you look at this, this is talking about a very localized government. Okay, Deuteronomy 21, notice this again. "If one be found slain in the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it, lying in the field, and it's not known who's slain him, then your elders and judges will come forth. They will measure to the cities which are round about him that is slain. It will be the city which is next or nearest to the slain man. Even the elders of the city will take a heifer which has not been wrought with, which has not drawn the yoke. The elders of the city will bring down the heifer to a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, to strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And the priest, the son of Levi, will come near, for them the Lord your God has chosen to minister to him, to bless in the name of the Lord, and by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried." This is part of why the Levites were made into officers. All the elders of that city that are near to the slain man will wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley, and they will answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto your people Israel, whom you've redeemed. Lay not innocent blood to your people of Israel's charge, and the blood shall be forgiven them. So you will put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you when you will do what is right in the sight of the Lord. Notice again, when there is a crime and they cannot solve it, the people who are held accountable is the people who are closest to it. What we get from this is when you talk about government and what you talk about the enforcement of laws that are broken, in the Bible, it is local. The local town, the local people are responsible to see that God's law is enforced and that justice is carried out. This is part of one of the things that led to the Civil War, is the question on whether you have the local government or you have the federal government. We would say in the Bible it's much more local than even the state level, that it should be all the way down to what we would even call maybe the county level. When you talk about justice and you talk about police forces, it is going to be very, very localized in the Bible. This is important for us because when we talk about, well, what am I supposed to do as a Christian? One of the things I would say is that you hold your local police accountable and that you do not want federal police or other police not from your area coming into your area. Why? Well, because if I live in the neighborhood of which I'm a police officer, my neighbors I have to give an account to. I have to give an account to them for what I do. And if I am a jerk, if I don't enforce the law, if I let people go who are murderers and rapists, or if I am excessively violent, if I live in the neighborhood, I've got to face the people that I live with. However, if I don't live there, I can go home and escape, in many respects, accountability for my actions. I can oppress a group of people that are not my people, that I will never see, never have to spend time with. I can then go back and everybody will think I'm a decent person because nobody will know who I am or what I've done. In the Bible, the government and the enforcement of God's law is very localized. So what we would want is we would want local people and we would want local judges and we would want the local people and the local police officers and local judges held accountable locally. Okay, we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Before we go any further, we want to get Romans 13 in its context. Romans 13 is one of the most misinterpreted passages of Scripture right now as it relates to immigration, as it relates to police brutality, as it relates to mask and all the other emergency orders. Romans 13, in its context, Paul is writing to Christians. He's explaining to them what the gospel does and how the gospel changes and transforms us. He starts with the law of God in Romans 1, goes through, talks about the change that's brought about by the gospel into Romans 4, 5, 6, etc. In Romans 12, he speaks to Christians who may have interpersonal conflict with other people, inside or outside the church. He speaks because of Jesus Christ and what he has done in our lives, we have a responsibility to forgive those who wrong us. Now, I'm sure many of you have been in situations where the concept of forgiveness has been used as a scapegoat to escape justice. Okay, it goes something like this. I know that I smashed your car, but you should forgive me and not make me get it fixed. Okay, that's the way it is used. A lot of times it's used in churches. Someone say, molest a child. Well, you should forgive them as opposed to calling the police. This happens sometimes when it comes to other situations. It's well, you should forgive them as opposed to involving the police. You should forgive them as opposed to seeking justice. You should forgive them. Romans 12 is saying, as a Christian, you should forgive. But in Romans 13, he says that there is an entity that God has ordained to punish those who break his law. And we are responsible as Christian people to submit those violations of God's law to the local government. Okay, forgiveness and justice are not antithetical. It's not where I'm going to forgive you and because I'm going to forgive you, I'm not going to call the insurance company and say, hey, they smashed my car. No, that's part of why you have insurance. Okay? If somebody robs you, you have a responsibility before God to forgive them and call the police and file out a report, because what they have done is violated God's law. Romans 13 is not giving unbridled authority to human government. That's the way some people take Romans 13. If the government says it, you got to do it. No, Romans 13 is saying that God has ordained an institution to punish those who break his law. You and I, vengeance is not ours. Okay? Vengeance is not ours. I cannot come up to you. If you rob my house, I have not been given the authority to come and break in, kick in your front door and take what I want and rob you back. Okay? I have not been given that authority. However, God has given to government the authority to enforce violations of his law. So that's what it's speaking of when it says every soul be subject to the higher powers. The subjection here is you've wronged me. Okay? You raped my daughter, you robbed my store, you smashed my house, you killed my cow. Whatever that wrong is, Romans 12, I forgive. Romans 13, though, there is an entity that I am to be subject to that isn't called by God to enforce his law when it's violated. So that's Romans 13. So then you come to verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Will you not be afraid of the power? Do what is good, and you will have praise the same. For he is the minister of God to you for good. If you do what is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. Now, verse 4 has been misinterpreted to take the idea of standing armies, to take the idea of invading other countries, governments using force upon their citizens. Well, they have the power of the sword. They have the power of the sword. They have the power of the sword. What is the power of the sword? Okay? He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. The power of the sword is the power to punish those who break God's law. It is not the power to raise up an army and invade another country. That's not the power of the sword here. The power of the sword is the power to punish those who break God's law, those who do what is evil. This is very important as it relates to police. The power of the sword, in many respects, is not given to police officers. It's given to judges. The job of an officer is to bring someone to trial. When it is determined that they have done evil, that is when the power of the sword comes in. In the Bible, you do not have people who are judge, jury, and executioner. We as Christian people would expect the same of our police. They do not have the authority to punish people. They have the authority to see that people are brought before a judge. And there's a world of difference between the two. Okay? This is where we as Christian people, when we look at this, when someone is innocent until proven guilty, when someone is accused of a crime, and it has not been determined whether they have done good or done evil, we do not want them punished until it has been determined that they have done what is evil. This is where I would disagree with those who don't have a problem with some level of police brutality. I would disagree with those who would say, well, look what the man did. Surely he deserves something along those lines. Okay, if he did, in fact, do evil, he deserves his day before a judge. And the officer is not the judge. You are not the judge. I am not the judge. Okay? So when we talk about Romans 13 and the power of the sword, this is not unbridled authority given to police officers to do whatever they want to arm them and give them any type of authority to take any type of stance or violence or actions towards other people. That's not Romans 13. Romans 13 has granted to the government the authority to punish those who have been proven to have violated God's law. They have done what is evil. Okay? This would be things like the death penalty. This would be other things like beatings, other things of that nature. That is the power of the sword, and it is only for those who have done what is evil. Verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Verse 6, for this cause pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Therefore, render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Based upon verses 6 and 7, Christians should gladly pay taxes for there to be police officers. It's a biblical role, and we should gladly pay taxes for them to be taken care of so that they can do their duty to ensure that those who are accused of doing what is evil are brought before a judge, if convicted, to ensure that the sentence, the power of the sword, is carried out. That means also that we should honor judges. We should honor officers of the law. We should show them the respect that that position that has been ordained by God should deserve. Okay? So it is right and good to honor police officers. It is right and good to speak respectfully to them, to judges, etc. Now, again, we're talking about biblical enforcement of God's law. So what do we do in the situations where maybe a police officer is not doing what they're supposed to do? How are we supposed to approach this? I love this because in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, there is a bunch of safeguards against what we would call police brutality, what we would call abuse of authority, etc. And a lot of these go back to Deuteronomy 17, the character of the people that we want in police officers. This goes back to Deuteronomy 19 and 21, which is the local enforcement of God's law, so that there is a local accountability. And this also would go into what we looked at in Romans 13 as it relates to taxes. So let's look at John 18. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus has been arrested, and Jesus is now on trial. Okay? Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and the temple where the Jews always resort. In the secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said to them. Behold, you knew what I said. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answer you the high priest so. Notice what happens. Jesus is on trial, and an officer hits him. Okay? He is hit, and this is hit before he is convicted. Okay? He is hit in the middle of his trial. Notice Jesus' response. Jesus' response is not, Romans 13, he's doing his job, you got to let him do. No, Romans, he doesn't do any of that. He doesn't do back the blue. That's not his response. What is his response? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why did you strike me? Jesus here speaks out against an officer using physical violence upon someone who has not been convicted of a crime. If Jesus speaks out against it, should not we as Christians do the same? Again, this is where we as Christians have such a wonderful opportunity in our society today to speak the gospel. Because there are people, whether you agree with them, like their tactics, whatever, there are people who are frustrated and upset upon videos that they have seen, videos that we've all seen, and we have the opportunity to say, you know what, Jesus already spoke to this. Let me tell you of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you of how he addressed this issue. Notice Deuteronomy 19. This one, if we had this law in Deuteronomy 19, our country would be such a better place. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, both the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. The judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he had thought to have done to his brother. So shall you put the evil from away from among you. Those which remain will hear and fear and will henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. We are used to verse 21 in a completely different context. Verse 21 here is speaking about those who would lie to a court, okay, lie in a criminal proceedings. If, in the word of God here, if you falsely accuse someone of a crime and it is found out that your accusation is false, you receive the exact same punishment they would have received should they have been found guilty. And he speaks very clearly in verse 21, you are to have no pity on the liar. That is, if he was seeking to have someone executed, you have no pity, you execute him for falsely accusing someone of a crime. Okay? If he was seeking to have someone's hand cut off or their eye plucked out, and he is proved to have lied, then you rip his eye out, you cut his hand off. You have no pity upon the liar. Now, how does this apply to the police? Well, what it means is if you have a police officer that falsifies a police report, he should receive the punishment that the innocent individual could have been given. That is completely unacceptable. What is unacceptable is that we have had instances in our country over its long history of police officers falsifying police reports. And the punishment is they get fired. They shouldn't be fired. They should be punished eye for eye, tooth for tooth. If you have a police officer who is proven to lie, then that officer should be punished in the same way that the person he arrested was going to be punished if they were found guilty. You know how much better things would be? And again, this also goes if I accuse a police officer of doing something and it's found out that I lie, guess what happens? I get the exact same punishment. Can you imagine what would happen to all the frivolous lawsuits in our country? If I sued you for $15 million and in court it was proven that I lied and I owed you $15 million, there would be no just let's just dismiss the case, let's just drop the case. In the Bible, there is none of that. If you are proven to have lied, you receive the punishment you were seeking for someone else to get. This is huge. If a police officer is caught planting evidence on someone in order to arrest them, they should receive the exact same punishment. There was an officer, I think it was in New York, that they had to go through and vacate, I think it was 15 years of convictions from many different people because he kept planting drugs on people that he arrested. And so he lost his job. No. They should go through every single person was convicted through him bearing false witness and planting drugs. They should total up the totality of all of their punishment, and that should be enforced upon him. Okay? You see how very easily, if you follow what the Bible says, all of the problems that people have and all the debates that people have today concerning the role of police, they really get taken care of by the Word of God. It's almost as if God knew human beings, knew the way a society should look, knew our propensity to evil, and said, hey, here's a solution for you, and wrote it down for us. John 7, okay, this one, I love this one. John 7, verse 31. Many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ comes, we do more miracles than that which this man has done. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and chief priests sent officers to take him. Okay? Notice what happens. The Pharisees hear that people are beginning to say that Jesus is the Messiah. What is their response? Let's send police officers and have him arrested. What crime is Jesus committed? None. What crime is he accused of being committed? None. What are they doing? They are using the power of the police for their own personal advantage. So verse 43. Okay, this goes on. So there's a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, why have you not brought him? So the officers are sent to arrest Jesus. They listen to Jesus. They see all the conversations about who Jesus is, and they leave Jesus and come back. They don't arrest him. Okay? Then notice verse 46, the officers. Never spoke a man like this. Verse 47. Then answered the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? This people who knows not the law are cursed. Notice what happened here. The officers realize after listening to Jesus, this man has not broken the law, and so they let him be. This is why you go back to Deuteronomy 17. You want officers who know the law. Why? Because there may be political things at play. There may be other revenge things at play, etc., etc. And you want police officers who will look at an innocent person and say, I don't care what my supervisor says. I'm not going to go through with this. This is part of the problem of the situation in Minneapolis, is the guy that was kneeling on the man's neck There were two other officers there, and he was their superior. And they were scared to speak out and say, get off the man, he's already in handcuffs, this is wrong, what you're doing is wrong, because they were supposed to learn from him. The biblical solution is they should know the law before they're ever given a badge. They should have the law and review the law every single day, Deuteronomy 17. And when they see something that is a violation of the law, they should not respect a person, including their own supervisor, and interfere. And they should stop. Okay? The same thing should go when it relates to someone that, you know, hey, we just need to go clear out this group of people. We want police officers who are going to say, what crime have they committed? What law have they broken? This is part of the problem in our society, and I'm not against law and order, but many times law and order means I just don't like what this group of people is doing. And this is something that we as Christians need to really begin to check. Okay, your neighbor does something that annoys you. Okay, you see somebody walking down the street and they look suspicious. Well, I'm going to call the cops. Before you call the police, ask this question. Which one of God's commands has that person violated? Listen, there are going to be some obnoxious, annoying people. And you know what? It's not the job of the police to deal with them. It's your job to grow up and show love to someone different than you. If you read the history of our country, a lot of laws were passed after the end of slavery simply because white people didn't like black people. Okay, a lot of vagrancy laws was because black people on the sidewalks made white people feel uncomfortable. So they made it against the law for black people to stand on the street corners. Okay? That's not correct. And we want police officers who look at laws like that and say, I don't care, I won't enforce them. Have you noticed that there have been sheriffs that have come out on some of the different things, whether it was gun legislation or whether it was emergency shutdown orders? Have you seen the judges, or not the judges, the sheriffs that come out and say, this is an unconstitutional law and my deputies will not enforce it in this county? That's what we want. We want people who will say, this is not correct. We will not carry out this order. That's what you want. And how you get that is people, Deuteronomy 17, people of character, okay? People who are accountable to the community in which they live, and people who know God's law and know what is right and know what is wrong. We do not want police officers who will just do what they're told. Because if you get a corrupt sheriff, you get somebody who's a racist supervisor, you get somebody who's political in one way or the other. I remember reading the story of a police chief that was trying to use his deputies to arrest his ex-wife. No, the deputy should have said no. Okay, we're not going to be your personal, you know, punisher of whoever you don't like. Notice this in John 7. We want deputies, we want officers like these officers that are going to look at a situation and say, you know what? No crime has been committed here. Have a nice day. We're going home. Acts 5, verse 25. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then with the captain, with the officers, brought them, notice this, without violence. For they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. When they brought them, they set them before the council. Notice here, this is the early church. The early church is getting arrested. They're getting arrested for their public assembly. But notice that the officers don't use violence because the other bystanders standing by would have protected the early churches in their preaching. This is a good lesson for us as Christian people. Okay, a lot of times we just go, you know what, just leave the police officers alone, etc. Listen, if we have good police officers, leave them alone. But if there is a hint of corruption, then we need to make sure that the police do not resort to violence or anything of that nature. Okay? That's part of what we as Christian people should be doing. You see it in Acts 5. The apostles were not beaten because the local people held their police officers accountable in the course of their duties. Now notice Luke 3, verse 14. The soldiers likewise demanded of him. This is, again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. This is people coming to repentance under the preaching of John the Baptist. So these are Roman soldiers who would be the peacekeepers, the law and order people of the Roman Empire in Jerusalem. They are there. John the Baptist is preaching. They are repenting. They are being baptized to show their repentance. They are looking for the Messiah that's going to come after John, but they want to know what to do in the meantime. So they said, what shall we do? He said to them, do violence to no man. Okay? If you want to know what a good police officer looks like, we want people who are not violent. That's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Neither accuse any falsely. It sounds like John the Baptist has been reading God's word. Okay? Why? Because what happens if you have somebody that's accusing someone falsely? What's supposed to happen? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, they're supposed to be punished. We want straightforward, honest people who are not going to abuse their position and be content with your wages. Many times they would use their power to bring about change that they liked for their own financial benefit. Again, we talked about that in Deuteronomy 17, about we don't want people who are susceptible to bribes. But you'll also find that police officers today, some of the more corrupt police departments, will use their position as a means of protest. If we don't like a decision by a DA, we'll all call in sick, so nobody will be there to answer 911. We do not want people like that. We want people that are going to do what is right, regardless of the circumstances. So what does this mean for application? I really enjoyed studying this because I had really no idea what the Bible said on this issue before I started looking into it. But I think what it means for me as it relates to what my responsibility is as a Christian is, one, this is very good information and very wise information. So when you have an opportunity, and I hope you do have friends that disagree with you, and I do hope that you try to share the gospel with people from differing viewpoints, this gives you an in with somebody who's defund the police. This gives you an in with somebody who's back the blue. This gives you an end with, I can't stand police brutality. This gives you an end with, you know what, let's go into Portland and clean all those people out with batons. Whoever the person is, this gives you an opportunity to show them the infinite wisdom of Jesus Christ and his word. When it comes to sharing the gospel, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. What we want to do is everybody we try to share the gospel with, we want to get their nose in this book. This gives us an opportunity to take the current discussion and go straight to the word of God and go into the gospel. As it relates to beyond sharing the gospel, what does this mean? It means that we want to have a local police department that is funded and accountable to the local people. This is one of the things that has changed. Is it used to be that you knew when you paid taxes that this percentage of the sales tax was going to go to the Alachua County Police Department, et cetera, et cetera. We, as God's people, we want to make sure that federal dollars don't begin to influence our local policing. Why? Because if their paycheck is paid by Washington, they will no longer be accountable to us. They'll be accountable to Washington. We want local police officers. And we should seek to know how they are funded, and we should seek to know how they are paid. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is a big issue in Gainesville because the police officers in Gainesville are paid less than police officers of similar size cities. Because of this, nobody wants to be a police officer in Gainesville. Also, there's a lot of politics with the university and protecting football players who get in trouble, and so a lot of people do not want to be police officers in the city of Gainesville. Because of this, police officers in the city of Gainesville are very overworked, have very low morale. As God's people, instead of putting on Facebook, back the blue, what we should say is, you know what, we want to know why our tax dollars aren't hiring better police officers and taking better care of them. We do not want a city where our police officers may be tempted to take bribes because they're not paid well enough. We want to know where are the local dollars coming from, where are the local dollars going, how are the police officers being paid, And then what we also need to do is, if there is an instance of police brutality, abuse, or misconduct, we want to be able to then go to the police department and say, we want this person removed because they are not just. We do not want police officers like this in our community, our neighborhood. And when the local people have the purse strings, because you have a locally funded police department, you can easily affect change. The issue right now is none of us know where our tax dollars go. We have no idea. And when you begin to talk about things like police unions, did any of you sign a contract with a police union? Okay, then who did? We need to find out who signs those contracts. We need to find out how corrupt officers are still on the streets. And then we need to hold the people accountable. Whether that is voting someone else in as sheriff, whether that is voting someone else in as county commissioner or city commissioner, as the people of God, if this is what God has said concerning police, then we need to make sure we vote accordingly. I categorically refuse to vote for someone because they have an R by their name. I want to make sure that they are a person of character who will do what is right. And so when we look at all the amendments and all the taxes and all the other things, we need to be a people who vote in accordance with the Word of God and what God has ordained. This is an important issue for us to study. Is it the most important issue? No. I would highly encourage you to spend more time studying the armor of God than local politics. But as a Christian, if you are going to vote, you need to make sure that you vote in accordance with the Word of God. And when these issues are brought up, you need to be able to say, thus says the Lord. This is what the Word of God says. So I'd encourage you just to begin here, to study, to meditate, and think on these things. Lastly, we need to praise God for His infinite wisdom. I left studying this just so happy in the Lord, just seeing His wisdom, that all the problems in our society today, God already addressed them thousands of years ago. And if we would have followed what is found on just these couple verses of Scripture, all the riots and burning and looting and all the police brutality and all the other corruption never would have taken place. And that's where we as the people of God need to study the Word of God so that we'll be approved, so that we will do what is right and glorifying in His sight. Amen.